Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome back to the podcast by Royal Appointment. In this episode, we'll take a closer look at Prince Harry's girlfriend, Meghan Markle. We'll look at her background, her visions, and the possibility of her joining the British royal household. George, do you believe that this is the sound of a future British princess? Has Prince Harry finally found his match in his 35-year-old divorcee?
Well, that's an interesting question. I believe that it was, I think, very courageous of Prince Harry, but also quite unexpected and unusual for him to come up with this statement about Meghan and his willingness to protect her from what he sees as media intrusion in his life, in her life. But has he found his match? Well, only time will tell. I think she sounds like a lovely girl. They obviously, I think I read somewhere that they've met in Canada during an Invictus event.
Tell us more about Invictus, because you've been involved in some of that work previously, haven't you?
Well, in my previous position at Getty Images, I was involved sort of by allowing our staff, royal correspondent Chris Jackson, to get involved with the charity and to follow and document the establishment of the charity, and also it's the first events in the UK and the last event in May 2016 in the US when Michelle Obama, the Obamas, were involved. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was involved, but not really. Chris Jackson was, definitely.
Right. So let's look at what we know about Meghan so far. She grew up in Crenshaw in Los Angeles. It's quite a troubled area of California, actually. Her mother, Doria Ragland, is a social worker and a therapist, a yoga therapist. And her father, Thomas Markle, has Dutch-Irish descent. Meghan spoken about her pride about being mixed race. There was my mum, caramel in complexion with light-skinned baby in tow, being asked where my mother was, since they assumed that my mother was the nanny. She's said in the past.
We know she grew up in California. We also know that she didn't grow up in a highly connected Hollywood environment. So that means that it must have been a difficult start once she has chosen to be an actress. Her father was worked on film sets, but he was not a director, didn't own a studio. And the fact also that she's from a mixed racial background, her mother is considered in America as an African-American, probably means that it hasn't always been very easy. And to go back to Prince Harry, it's a little bit of groundbreaking. Whilst his uncle, Prince Andrew, in the mid-80s, also had a long and serious relationship with an actress, Koo Stark, Kathleen Stark, it's slightly different. But I guess we have to go with the times now. But it's definitely different.
I think you're right. I think Meghan is certainly going to raise some eyebrows in the royal family, and it is not a particularly conventional relationship. But if you look at the rest of Europe, the winds are certainly changing. Because I remember when Crown Princess Mette-Marit of Norway, even though she wasn't divorced, she had a son from her previous relationship and had to take quite a lot of sticks in her early days while dating Crown Prince Haakon. And Prince Albert of Monaco also had a son, am I right?
Yes, I mean,
or
it's...
a few. He has got two...
Well, you know, he has two love children. One called Grace, who was raised in America. He recognized both. And the last one that he had with a stewardess, he also recognized him. But they're both out of contention for a succession, if there was one. So it's slightly different, but yes, it's different. I mean, we live in 2016 and these things are more common than they used to be in the past.
And Queen Letizia of Spain, which she was also married and divorced when she met Crown Prince Philip of Spain. I think Queen Mathilde of Belgium is one of the few who is actually from quite an aristocratic background.
Yeah. Yeah, one can say that. Yeah, she's from a very, actually, aristocratic background. And to go back to the Great Britain, United Kingdom, it's true that great aunt of Prince Harry, Princess Margaret, was actually not allowed to marry the love of her life, Captain Townsend. So, yes, it is, let's see. I mean, he's only so far confirmed a relationship with this young girl. It means he's taking that relationship seriously. And I think the purpose of the statement was that he doesn't want any harm, he doesn't want any media intrusion, and he wants to protect her and her family.
Another interesting point here is her financial background. Obviously, until you made it big in Hollywood, acting certainly doesn't make you rich. Meghan described something really quite nice a while back. She was saying, "I was not a girl who grew up buying $100 candles. I was the girl who ran out of gas on the way to my audition." I think that's really quite... isn't that the kind of princess we want, who can relate to all different levels in society?
I think so. Whilst I think a lot of wealthier people have ran out of gas, including me, on my way not to an audition but to a job. No, I mean, she's down to earth. She tells things as they were or as they are. She's seems to be a pretty open-minded young lady, and good luck to her. I mean, you know, she's bagged a very nice, eligible, intelligent young man, Prince Harry.
Her father has actually previously filed for bankruptcy, and her mother did the same thing in 2012. So marrying Prince Harry would give her a very different future.
Yes, I think she's doing well herself. Mm-hmm. But it's true that in America, people tend to file for bankruptcy because the law allows them to. And, you know, following 2008 crisis, real estate crisis, a lot of people filed for bankruptcy, basically to sort of get rid of the real estate that they had acquired. But yeah, I mean, but I'm sure she's doing well. I mean, she's successful. She will see another world by dating Prince Harry. But I'm sure also that in her world, there's quite a lot of very young and young, eligible, wealthy men that she could also be, you know, be friendly with.
Humanitarian questions are also quite close to her heart, and she's mentioned it at a few occasions, and she's been to Rwanda to help with the Clean Water Initiative and spoke at the United Nations when she gave a speech on the International Women's Day about feminism and about writing to the First Lady at that time, Hillary Clinton, and campaign for Protecting Gamblers soap ad to change the commercials. Let's listen to a clip from what she said about that.
Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, I am tremendously honored to be UN Women's Advocate for political participation and leadership. I am proud to be a woman and a feminist. And this evening, I am extremely proud to stand before you on this significant day, which serves as a reminder to all of us of how far we've come, but also amid celebration, a reminder of the road ahead. I want to tell you a story that'll sort of give context to my being here and my work with UN Women. When I was just 11 years old, I unknowingly and somehow accidentally became a female advocate. It was around the same time as the Beijing conference, so a little over 20 years ago, where in my hometown of Los Angeles, a pivotal moment reshaped my notion of what is possible. See, I had been in school watching a TV show in elementary school, and this commercial came on with the tagline for this dishwashing liquid, and the tagline said, "Women all over America are fighting greasy pots and pans." Two boys from my class said, "Yeah, that's where women belong, in the kitchen." I remember feeling shocked and angry and also just feeling so hurt. It just wasn't right, and something needed to be done. So I went home and I told my dad what had happened. And he encouraged me to write letters. So I did, to the most powerful people I could think of. Now, my 11-year-old self worked out that if I really wanted someone to hear me, well, then I should write a letter to the First Lady. So off I went, scribbling away to our First Lady at the time, Hillary Clinton. I also put pen to paper and I wrote a letter to my news source at the time, Linda Ellerbe, who hosted a kids' news program, and then to powerhouse attorney Gloria Allred, because even at 11, I wanted to cover all my bases. Finally, I wrote to the soap manufacturer. And a few weeks went by, and to my surprise, I received letters of encouragement from Hillary Clinton, from Linda Ellerbe, and from Gloria Allred. It was amazing. The kids' news show, they sent a camera crew to my home to cover the story. And it was roughly a month later when the soap manufacturer, Procter & Gamble, changed the commercial for their Ivory Clear dishwashing liquid. They changed it from "Women all over America are fighting greasy pots and pans" to "People all over America."
I think that also that probably that sort of humanitarian side of Meghan has been one of the attractions for Prince Harry, who's himself very involved with Invictus, a charity to help wounded soldiers, and also with a charity that is very close to his heart called Sentibaly. There was recently a very good documentary about him and Sentibaly, and Sentibaly is about helping children from the Kingdom of Lesotho in South Africa, and he's spent over the last 10 years a lot of time there promoting, helping, recently inaugurated the new center, and from what he says in this very good ITV documentary, it's very, very close to his heart. So that probably sort of, her interest, his interest, it probably means that they had a lot in common and a lot of passions in common.
I think you're right. And Meghan has also described how her mother raised her as a global citizen, traveling to places like Mexico when she saw children playing on dirt roads, trying to bring home a few extra pesos. It opened her eyes to sometimes quite harsh reality and real poverty. Her mother explained to her, "Don't be scared, be aware, but don't be afraid." She said in the past that she never wants to be a lady who lunches. She's always wanted to be a woman who works. And this is the type of work that feeds my soul and fuels my purpose. I think that sounds like a perfect modern princess role model.
Well, yeah. I mean, she's, for me, she's she sounds and looks like a great girl to be with. Whether it's going to end up with an appearance on the balcony of Buckingham Palace, waving to the crowd, I don't know. Harry is, as sort of in a way, often bullied his way into the things and the causes that he wants to defend. So let's see how he does with that one. But it's not going to be an easy relationship, because whether you like it or not, her background, her religion, her status as a divorcee will raise a lot of eyebrows, and it's not going to be easy. But let's hope that love conquers all.